Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. I'm so glad to be with you today. Today we're going to be talking about speaking the creative word of faith. Well, it was one of my favorite subjects. Now you will find all these scriptural references on our website, The Liberating Secret, and it is in this little booklet called Christ Our Life Scriptural Basis. And we're just taking all the scriptural basis to Christ Our Life and expounding on them point by point by point. And we are on our 34th lesson on all the scriptural basis, and we can't really have them all without talking about our authority in Christ. What a mighty thing to talk about. What a wonderful thing to talk about. You know, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says this, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, far above principalities and powers." Now, you see, this is an elevated, ascended position, seated with Christ, seated together with Him. Seated means that you don't have to fight, you don't have to worry, it's already a done deal, and the devil has no power. It renders the devil powerless, really, when you see yourself seated in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers and dominions and mights and anything that might come against us. And then I'm reminded in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus sends out the 70, and he's sending them out, go heal and raise people from the dead, and he breathes on them the Holy Spirit, and they get the Holy Spirit, and they come back, and they're just all excited, and who wouldn't be? And in verse 17 it says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils were subject to us through thy name." And like I've said many a times, that means, but through his name means I'm in union with you, Lord. I'm in union. My spirit's in union with you. And therefore, your desires are my desires and my actions are really your actions. Jesus operated that way, and now he's sending his disciples out to operate that way. And then he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." In other words, through this mighty power of the Spirit within them, he was taking down spiritual strongholds, of satanic strongholds. And he says, "And I saw it in the Spirit." So Jesus saw all these things in the Spirit. And then he said, "Behold," and this is the point of our authority in Christ, "Behold, I give unto you," and he's talking to you today. Jesus is saying, "I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy." Jesus has seated you in him far above principalities and power and given you power above all the powers of the enemies. "And nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's a great, great statement. Nothing by any means shall hurt you. That's a promise. I mean, this is a promise to us. And we, in these days, as severe as they are, and as much as the devil is attacking and people, we need to know, I don't care how weak you are, how insignificant you think you are, God has given you this authority and this power over all the works of Satan. Because why do you have this authority? Just because you are one with Christ when he died to sin, when you were crucified with him and he died to the satanic reign inside you. And you were raised in his mighty power. The Holy Spirit raised you from the dead when Christ was raised from the dead. And now he has seated you far above principalities and powers. Why? Because we redeemed humanity is going to take over, is going to destroy the works of Satan, because they've already been destroyed by Jesus himself. And because of that, we can stand on his authority and through his name, because we're in union with him and his own authority, then God will give us that same authority. Just like I have the same authority my husband has. I have his name. So therefore, in his name, I can take my checkbook out and write as much as money as we have, which is not much, but whatever. I still have the same authority he does. And that's what it's like being in the body of Christ. We, in his name, we have that same authority and power. And he has already defeated Satan. So Satan has already defeated him. So why are we fighting him so much? You see, we need to just speak the word of faith. We need to speak out faith. We need to speak that you're already defeated. You know, I heard of the story of Smith Wigglesworth once when he had a visitation of Satan that came in his room and visited him. And he was asleep. He woke up, he turned over, and he looked at him, and he said, "Oh, it's only you." And then he fell back to sleep. Now, that's the kind of faith we're talking about. That, you see, we don't have to fear. We don't have to fight. We don't have to give Satan 1 ounce of power because he has none. But we need to know how to operate faith, and we need to know how to speak the word of faith. But let me tell you this. Faith in the negativity is negative faith. We're all, I told this to one of my friends one time. She came over and she was bad mouthing her husband. And a lot of times women do have to vent about these things. And I listened to it for so long. And finally I said, you know, why don't we look at him, because her husband was a Christian. I said, why don't we look at him the way God sees him and start believing the truth about him the way God sees him? And she says, "Oh, no, no, I can't have faith." And I said, "Well, wait a minute, you're already in faith." I said, "You're believing all the negative appearances of him." I said, "That's faith too, and that's pretty powerful." I said, "So where your faith is, that's what you're going to bring into being, because we're creative beings. We're created in the image of God. So our faith can go in a negative way or in a positive way. We're always operating by faith." But she didn't want to take a leap of faith into the invisible, in what didn't appear, and call the things that be not in the appearance level as though they already are on the spirit level. See, that's what she did not want to do. Well, that's what we have authority to do as Christians. And later on, her life has been a disaster. She ended up in divorce and, you know, a terrible, terrible disaster. So you're going to have what you say. Whatsoever you say, you're going to have, even in the negative. That's why I think a lot of the word of faith people are so emphatic about that. It's absolutely the truth. It's by your word you're going to be justified, and you're going to justify others God's way, not justifying yourself because of something you've done, but you're going to be justified in Christ by your words because you believe that Christ has justified you. And so your words are very strong and very important. Actually, it says Jesus is the word. So all we can do is really speak the word. You see, we Christians have spent so much time trying to figure out how to fix and change and rearrange our lives and everybody else's lives and fix ourselves and control everything, that we don't realize we have this authority just in our word. I mean, one time a friend of mine and myself and a group of us were on our back sun porch, and we were praying for an incident, a very awful thing that happened in our family, and we believed for a son-in-law that has gone astray, and we put him right back into God. We believed, we're seeing him as in Christ crucified, and his sin's already gone. We're seeing him already resurrected in Christ. We're seeing him seated, and we're going to put it in a time capsule. Now, that's what spirit, spirit is timeless. It has no time, no beginning, no end. So you send it out in spirit, and then we said that. We're going to send it out in a time capsule, and we're going to watch God bring it about in time. But we don't have to watch and see when it happens. We know it's done. Thank you in Jesus' name. And so we've praised God ever since, and we're beginning to see it turn around. Now, that was like 10 years ago. Like I said, that spirit prayer is in spirit. It's not in time, but it will burst into being in time. God is forever faithful. Thank you, Jesus. So we need to know our authority in Christ and how important our words are. Actually, it says in 2 Corinthians, and let's turn to that, chapter 5, it says that we can have a word of reconciliation for every single solitary thing that happens in our life, because things are mixed up. Things are not reconciled outwardly. They're not. Now, and manifestation is important. We can be the instruments of God's transformation by our word, the instrument of God's transformation. Now, I practiced that many times in my family. My husband, I kept telling him who he was when he wasn't manifesting it. The day came that now he knows who he is, and he lives in peace and faith. I mean, he is a great man of faith. He has much more faith than I do, but it's the Lord's faith in him, and that's his gift. He's a great man of faith. Believed it for my son when I couldn't see it, when he was hopelessly caught up in drugs. And basically, the Lord set him free in the fullness of time. The prayer burst into being. But I wasn't spending my time every day praying for him. Why? Because I spoke a word of faith. See, this is the deeper meaning of what prayer is. It's going deeper, just speaking instead of begging and praying and lamenting. You see, let's speak it. See, that's what Jesus said about the centurion. He had great faith, more faith than the Israelites, basically, even his disciples. And why? Because when the centurion came to Jesus, he said, "Come and heal my servant." And Jesus said, "Well, tell me where you live." And he says, "Oh, no, 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 no." He says, "I'm a man of authority. When I say to my servant, go, they go. When I say, stay, they stay. You're a man just like me, Jesus. Just speak the word only." Jesus says, "Oh, no greater faith have I seen in Israel than this man. He was a Gentile." This is what the faith that God's after. This is maturing faith when you can start speaking into being what does not exist. And so what causes us to do it? Okay, let's look at Mark 11:22. We've discussed that earlier, and now we're going to look back at it, and we're going to see exactly what Jesus tells his disciples. And like I said, he cursed the fig tree. He came home. They left the temple after he took his whip out and whipped the money changers. They saw the fig tree was withered simply by his word. Now he has a word to his disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Have the faith in God." Now, one day I was looking at that and I was saying, having the faith in God. Okay, I do have faith in God. But then I looked in my margin and I saw that what it really means is have the faith of God. And the Spirit showed me, this is saying have the same faith that God has. In other words, operate like faith, just like God does. And I'm like, gosh, does God operate by faith? Well, he framed the whole world by his word, you see, by saying, "Let there be, let there be, let there be," simply by his word. And it came out of chaos. It came out of corruption and chaos. And he says, "Oh, no, 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 let there be light." So he is a God of faith. He himself operates by faith. And now Jesus is telling his disciples, you operate the same way God operates. Actually, the same way Jesus operated. Because everything Jesus did was by faith. But operate in that faith. He was born by faith. He was born by the Spirit. That was by faith. By faith of his mother, she said, "Let it be done unto me." And so she conceived by faith. It was done by faith. She didn't know it in appearances, you see. He grew up in wisdom and knowledge by faith. He was baptized at the Jordan River when he was 30 years old by faith. And the Spirit came on him. He went into the wilderness and defeated Satan for 6 weeks in the wilderness by faith and only speaking the word only, not fighting Satan, and trusting the Spirit to speak forth that word of faith through him. And he was, his ministry was totally by faith, by the Spirit, totally Spirit-driven. The things I do are my Father are doing. The words I speak, they're not mine, they're my Father's. So constantly by faith, he was drawing from his Father. He went to the cross by faith. He didn't have the faith immediately to go to the cross. He had to go to Gethsemane and fight it out. And because the devil was tempting him to rebel against his Father and not go to the very place that he had prophesied he would go to, which is the cross. He did it by faith. He went to the cross a victor. He was not a victim. People in our world today are all victims. We need to get out of that. We're victorious. We're full of victory because we have Jesus. He's our victory. And full of faith because he's my faith. So just because I have weaknesses doesn't mean that I don't already have. I'm well equipped already with Jesus. Get to know your equipment. You're equipped already with the shield of righteousness and the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith, because he's your faith. He's your righteousness. Now learn now how he operated his whole life by faith. He goes to the cross by faith. He's resurrected by faith. He's ascended by faith. So there's nothing but faith. He himself was a man of total faith. If he had ever believed in his own self instead of his faith towards his Father, he would have sinned. That would have been sin. That's our sin. We believe in our self abilities instead of having faith in God and the sufficiency of our Lord. So now he's saying to his disciples, now this is the way you're to operate. The same way I operate, the same way my Father operated when he created all there is in this world. For verily I say to you that whatsoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, but shall believe that those things which he shall say come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith, whatsoever he says. Whoa, that's mighty authority. Wow, I've got to understand this. What is Jesus talking about? Does that mean that I can just pop things into being anytime I say it? Does that mean that if I need something at the grocery, I can just say, okay, it's there? You see, this, he was talking to some immature disciples, yes. But he was trusting that the Spirit would mature them up to what this really means and the depths of what this really means. You see, they were still pretty much thinking separate and thinking fleshly. So he wasn't talking to that man. He was not talking to that understanding. He was talking to the new creation in them that was coming, that was going to come into being. It hadn't in time, but it was already there in eternity. He already saw it. So he could speak to it, even though it wasn't officially there. Because he didn't live in time. He says, I'm from my Heavenly Father, and that's what I live from. That's what I operate from. That's what he's bringing us to. That's why Colossians says, set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Find out exactly what we already have in Christ. But he says, say unto your mountain. What's a mountain? Any problem you have is a mountain. Any stress you have is a mountain. Any place that looks impossible, and I always say God's permanent address is at wit's end. So if it's not impossible, well, I had a friend that said it may not be God. So God loves the impossible because he declares, he wants us to speak to the impossible and declare that it's already done in Jesus' name. That's what he wants. So a lot of people say, well, then we can't ever look. They make works out of faith. Therefore, we can't look at our mountain ever again. Well, we don't deny the mountain. We don't say that it doesn't exist. And if we talk to somebody, I have to say, well, yeah, I've had this problem with my son, or I've had this problem in my body. Just because I talk about it in general, I'm not really putting faith in just because I've talked about it generally. It's a sense of me not denying it. Actually, my mother said to some ministers that came when she had cancer because they thought everybody should be healed. My argument against that is, but there are a lot of people that are not healed. I mean, we wouldn't die if we were all healed all the time, you know, and there are people that are dying. So you've got to speak to that, too. You can't make people feel guilty because that's happening to them. And they should have more faith. If they had more faith, they wouldn't die. Well, we're going to die, you know. So they came to my mother and they said, we want to pray for you. She said, no. She said, this cancer is going to kill me. I'm going to die. In other words, she had already surrendered her life to the Lord as a living sacrifice. And she knew she was going to die as an intercessor. And that we're going to talk about intercession next. And I'm heading into it. So she says, no, I'm going to die. But, oh, this can't kill me. Because when I look in a mirror, cancer can't kill me. I don't see me. I see Jesus. I don't live any longer. Jesus lives here. He's inside of me. He's life. So I can't die. So they did not know what to do with her. And basically, what she did was not deny the thing that was happening to her in her sick body. Now, a lot of times we think, oh my gosh, you just said that because I just keep confessing the negative. Well, there is a spirit about just keep confessing the negative and never understanding the truth. That's true. That will bring about negative results. But that does not mean that I cannot say that I'm sick when I'm sick. You know, and I have to, it's almost like a performance. I have to act like that I'm well all the time. I had a friend that wore glasses, and somebody told her, just take your glasses off, you're already healed. Well, she took her glasses off, and she couldn't see a thing. She went around like, you know, a blind person for a long time. And then finally she put her glasses back on, and she said, I am healed in Jesus' name, even though I have glasses. Now, I'm not speaking against outer healing either, but I'm just talking about finding the wisdom in each situation. Now, I have a son that really has the gift of healing, and everywhere he goes, people are asking him to pray for them, and the Spirit's healing people through him. So, and one time I took a look at Hebrews 11, the great hero chapter, and guess what? Half of the people were healed and delivered outwardly, half of them were not. So when we talk about the deeper level of intercession, we're talking about people that may not be delivered outwardly. My mother was one of them. So don't criticize somebody that has not been healed outwardly. She said to those ministers that wanted to come to pray for her, I have cancer. It's going to kill me. Oh, but wait a minute. It can't kill me because I'm not my body. See, she would not identify herself as her body. And she said, when I look in a mirror, I see Jesus. Jesus lives there. And so I'm telling you, she lived victorious and paid a great price for all of us. And we have seen everything she prayed for come into being. I mean, I still see it, like I told you last time. So say to your mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And whatsoever you say, you shall have. Therefore I say unto you, whatso things ye desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall receive them. Now, I was just talking about that, about prayer. Don't pray powerlessly because you just ask and ask and ask. I see a mountain, I see a mountain, I see a mountain, I see a mountain. You're like a broken record. God deliver us, God deliver us, God deliver us. This says, say to that mountain, you're already gone. And Jesus, you've already answered. Praise you, it's already done in Jesus' name. Now, that's faith. Now, that's what the disciples have to learn. And that's what we to learn as disciples of Christ, too. That we have to learn to say under mountain, be thou cast into the sea. There's a lot of verses about this, and you're going to see many of them. I mean, when Jesus said, let there be light, that he was operating faith. When Abraham said, when he took his son up on Mount Moriah to sacrifice him, he said to the servants, you stay here, and the lad and I are going to go up yonder and worship, you see, and we'll return and we'll come back again. That was operating faith. Caleb, when he told the children of Israel, come on, go on into the promised land. We've got the authority. We've got the power. God is with us. He says, go up and possess it. That was operating faith. When Elisha saw that greater is he that is with us than the enemies that is against us, that was operating faith. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. That was operating faith. Calling the things that be not as though they are. That's operating faith. So need produces desire. Desire should produce faith. And faith quenches the pain of desire and leaps and laughs at the impossible and shouts, it shall be done. That's one of our themes at Christ Our Life Ministries. That's speaking the word of faith. So speak to your mountains and they will be cast into the sea. But don't look. Don't say, oh, I don't see it, so faith doesn't work. Oh, I don't see it, so faith doesn't work. That's not faith. Faith is not built on sight. It's built on believing God and believing the invisible and believing that He's already answered even though we haven't seen it. So thank you so much. And I know God is leading all of you all into that kind of faith and that kind of operating faith. So thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and that he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylvia.p@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.